I love sparrows. I've been all over the world. And every place I go, I have seen sparrows. I mean, clear up. You couldn't believe it. Clear up in Northwest Territories. And up in the Arctic, there's sparrows up there. My wife and I, in 1995, were in Israel. And we were at the tomb and of the Lord, the garden tomb. And I heard this. Oh, what in the world was that? I look around. Guess what's there? Sparrows. You know, and of course Jesus said, you know, hey, how much you're a lot worth, more worth than a sparrow. And he said, when I see the sparrow fall, I know God knows that sparrow fall. And so I'm glad that God loves me and God loves you. And he hadn't forgot about you. And he knows all about you. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Well, I told Brother Rick before we started today, I said, I got a sermon that God has put in my heart, and I hope to God that I preach it right to you, and I have the right attitude, and you have the right attitude to take it. I've been preaching for 45 years. That sure seems like a long time. And I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons I've preached. But the other day I had a thought in my mind, and it seemed like it was an indictment towards me, an indictment towards God's people that God had given us. And I thought, boy, you know, if this indictment is towards me, I hope to God that I make that right. I hope to God that I ask God to forgive me and ask God to get on with life. Amen. The indictment, most of my life I've questioned and wondered what is it with people that call themselves Christians? They attend regularly to church. They support their church. But many of them are ornery and fussing and cantankerous. I mean, an old mean skunk wouldn't even want to hang around them. Amen. They're always fighting, always griping. Nothing's good. Nothing's okay. And I'm going to think, I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, good night, what in the world's wrong with us? And this is my saying, and you'll hear me, are you kidding me? You ever say that to your kid? Are you kidding me? You teach your kid to do this, teach your kid to do that, teach your kid to do that, and all of them, bam, they're opposite. And you say, are you kidding me? Mom, I'm sorry, I got a ticket. Are you kidding me? Mom, I didn't get my room done. Are you kidding me? You know, we always say that, are you kidding me? So, repeat after me.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you very much, all right. First of all, I see, and I say that, are you kidding me? I see a disunity in church members. That really breaks my heart. All that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, all that he went through on the cross of Calvary and before that cross, and gave his life, and constantly was telling us how we ought to act and how we ought to operate and how we ought to do the things for God. Why are we fussing? Satan knows, listen, I think here's the answer. Satan knows that if he can get a group of people that come together to learn the scriptures, to concentrate on something good and endeavor to keep others, to help others, if he can get them agitated at each other, he knows that they will never get anything done. If you're at home and you're husband and wife and you're fussing about something, I promise you won't get nothing done. It'll be a miserable life for you. That's why I read the scripture, Psalm 133, 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. The psalmist was saying, I want to give you an illustration how God thinks what it is for people to live in unity. He said, it is like the oil, the ointment that was poured on Aaron. Aaron, of course, was the first high priest of Israel. And when he was anointed, they anointed him with oil. And it became a sweet smell sacrifice to God that a man would give his life to do what God had called him to do. And it was just a, I'm real careful about this, but a real warm, fuzzy feeling to God. You ever have one of those, man, maybe that kid is going to make it. Wow, this is who I wanted to marry. Oh, finally I got her. Amen? Yeah, right, brother. Finally, you know, I got the one I love. You know, and when he wrote this, he said, hey, when people dwell in unity, this is how God feels about it. So, if that in fact is true, then I would suspect that we as Christians would want to continue to have God to feel that way. God feels us. He knows us. He knows about us. That is what God thinks of unity. It smells sweet to Him. And boy, don't you want Heritage Baptist Church to smell sweet to God. My dad once told me, he said, nip it in the bud. And I said, you know, for the longest time, I didn't get that. He'd go out on his tractor and go down and cultivate those fields. And he'd say, well, I got to nip it in the bud. What he was trying to tell me, he said, don't let that weed grow, but get it while it's just before it even comes to seed and to spread more seeds. And shouldn't that be, you know, I guess this is a message to remind us that let's, before it happens, let's nip it in the bud. Let's remind us of unity. Let's remind, hey, our church, for much as I know, and I figure, hey, we're a happy group of people. We love being here. Every person that talks to me, maybe they're just, you know, brown-shoeing me, but you know, they're, boy, preacher, we just love our church. We just love being here. Can't wait to get to the next service. And I'm going, yeah, that's right, amen, all right. But I'd just rather that you kept it that way, amen, all right. Number two, there's the disunity of marriage. I'm reminded when Moses was in the wilderness, he gave a letter of divorcement because of the hatred, the hardness of the hearts. When we observe the scriptures, we find that Jesus was very passionate, very vocal about the fact that we would love one another. And boy, I did a study on this week, and I'm telling you, I don't have enough time to read all the scriptures about what Jesus Christ talked about love. Jesus was very vocal about forgiving, very vocal about putting up with. He said, putting up with, yeah. Peter said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive this person? Seven times? No, Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And it has this thing in the Greek that, well, once you get to that 409 times, you get to flip it and go again. I have not yet have any but close. I have not had anybody that I had to forgive 409 times in one day. Close. The Lord Jesus Christ very passionately said, hey, put up with it. Allow it. Take it on the chin. He even says that we're to cover for them. Isn't that incredible? So, are we better than God? I guess that's the question I ask you. Are you better than God? Are you better than God that know better than what God said? God said love. God said forgive. God said put up. God said take it on the chin. God says cover. He said that love was the main thing. Did you know that? Jesus said love was the main thing. Even from the beginning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, and I quote, For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And whosoever slew he him because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. I ask this question, why do churches miss this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we miss this? What it seems like is that we have learned to take what we want and are willing to disregard the things that we don't like. Have you ever heard of selective hearing? Oh boy. I have real bad ears. I take my hearing aids out. I couldn't hear a thing here today. And people say things to me and I think they said something. And it's not what they said. I wonder if they really did say that though. But anyway. But who am I? My wife and I, we'd be doing something and I said, what they said? She said, I said, is that what they said? I said, yes. She said, you questioned me. I told you what they said. You can't hear. But anyway. Thank you, Marcia. Yeah, selective hearing. Maybe it's selective thinking. While a child, I taught that it was our responsibility to keep the whole law and not just what I liked. James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all, the Bible says. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. The Lord put it twice. You love one another. He said, like I loved you, you love one another. By this. Do you hear that? Do you hear it? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. There it is again. According to the scripture, I would assume for some of you that no one knows that you are Christ's disciples, because if you were, you would not act like you act towards others without love. There's an indictment. God said, this is the only way that the world out there, people are out there without Christ, this is the only way they know that you're a Christian if you love one another. Y'all get that? You get that? What an indictment towards me. If I'm talking to Rick and I say, you know about so-and-so over there? Boy, he is a bomb. He's a cheat. He's a liar. I hate him. What is Brother Rick, his brother, oh yeah, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yes or no? No. That's the indictment God makes, and this is what God spoke to my heart. How can I let people know that I'm a Christian? That I would love one another. No matter what comes along, no matter what heartache comes along, it is my responsibility, not your responsibility, it is my responsibility to show that I am a disciple of Christ if I love one another. Isn't that what the Bible says? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That sounds pretty serious. Wow. The way you love others is the way Jesus loves you. That's a pretty strong statement. Then he says this, verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. There it goes again. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Now, some of you have had brothers. Yeah. A little bit more, buddy. Some of you have brothers. I didn't have a brother. I had sisters. You're going to meet them. Be careful what you ask them, please. I had sisters. I have brothers. It would make me fuming mad. I had a cousins that were twins. They were fighting all the time. I mean, just busting head. I mean, pounding each other, yelling and screaming and ripping. I mean, to tell you. And I get so mad at them, I said, Ted, Fred, listen to me. And I'd even cry. I said, I don't have a brother. You got a brother. Shame on you. And I had two other cousins, Cal Streeter and Dennis Streeter. I've never seen brotherly love in action like I saw those two brothers. They were the best of buddies. 4 years and 3 years difference in their age, but they're best of buddies. I mean, every place they went, they went. I remember one time Cal came to this place with a bunch of high school guys, and they said, "What'd you bring your little brother for?" He says, "If my little brother's not welcome, I'm not welcome." I said, "Wow, that's what brothers are supposed to be like, man." And then I go to Ted and Fred's, and there, one of them took a butcher knife of his brother. I mean, they're crazy. Are you nuts? What are you thinking of? You're brothers. This is what God said. Be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. I want you to have better than I got. That's what it's saying. Hey, folks, I got to ask you this. Do you believe the Bible? Amen. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe the Bible from cover to cover? From generation to revolutions? Do you believe the Bible? Well, it isn't in the Bible. How can we act? How can we say to the world, hey, I'm a Christian, when we act like the devil's kids? Well, hallelujah. Or Brother Rudy, hallelujah. How can we do that? How is it that we have rules for certain things and no rules for other things? Can you imagine if you had a football game going and there was no rules? Can you imagine living in this world without stop signs and without speed limits and without police officers? We'd be a mess. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Fulfilled the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty to the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love, serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word. Even this. That thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all have one of those neighbors, right? That's why God put this in the Bible. Docking bards. Docking. Hey, brother, I'm catching that. Yeah, I am. Barking dogs. Stinking cats. Come eat my birds. Eyes on the sparrow cat, remember that. Not on cats, on sparrow. You got one of those neighbors? All of us do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Endeavoring is a constant act. You just keep acting, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Forbearing. That word forbearing means to cover. You hear somebody say something bad about your friend or something, you don't go tell them what that person said about them. You forbear it. You cover it. You don't let them hear that. You don't let that discourage them. Hey, this is all in the Bible. You know, you've got a Bible. You can study it just as much as a preacher can study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards one another, towards all men, even as do towards you, to the end he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father and the coming Lord Jesus Christ the saints. So the scripture teaches us here very plainly that we're to love one another. This is it. Here's the indictment. Here it is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. All your fighting and all your meanness, all your contentiousness and all your owliness, God said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that we love that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And the love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and that he is in us, because we hath us in his Spirit. And we hath seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. And we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath in us. God is love, and he dwelleth in, the love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Because fear hath torment. If you know your spouse loves you, you know that they are going to take care of you. And you don't have to fear about them running away or doing something to hurt you. Amen? That's true love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, here's the indictment, I love God and hateth my brother, or hateth his brother, God said, he indicts you with this, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? This is it. This is the indictment that God makes to all unloving people. Again, do you believe the Bible? That's not rhetorical. I'm asking you, do you believe the Bible? You believe it from cover to cover. If this is so, and if you have hatred towards another Christian, God says that I am and you are a liar. I can't understand why people get so upset and leave a church. Unwilling to forgive, unwilling to repent, unwilling to get their heart right. And you know what you're doing? You're leaving a good church and going to another good church, but the problem is you're taking your filth and your lies to another church. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. That's the truth. You know it is. Well, I don't like him. Why? I found most people don't like it because I started right the first scripture there where the Bible says that. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did he kill him? Because Cain was not righteous and Abel was. And Abel made him convicted. And so Abel got, Cain got ticked off because, you know, Abel's always doing right. I'm ticked off, but I'm just going out and butchering. That's what the Bible did say, is he butchered. How often we get mad at somebody. I remember in college, when I was going to college, I was working so hard to get good grades. And I'd ace a test. And some other guy said, "You're ruining the prayer!" And they get mad at me. I said, "If you'd stay up and get 3 hours of sleep at night, like I do, and have three sons who are in high school, never misses sports, and if you'd study and do all your stuff instead of playing basketball or whatever else you guys do, you just might not ruin the curve yourself. You might get a 4-point. You find that, guys, in your military career, there's always somebody who don't like you because you have the polished shoes, and you've got the sharp crease in your uniform, and everything is polished, everything looks good. Man, you are good. And they don't like that. You know why? Because they got to come up to your standards. And so what they're going to do is try to put you down below their standard. Is that true? You know what? That's the same thing that happens in church. Well, who do they think they are? Preachers always ask them. Maybe they're always around so the preacher could ask them. Maybe they're available. Maybe they're always in the toolbox. When my boys were growing up, I had this really nice toolbox. Had all my sockets in it. Had all everything I wanted in there, right? And I'd walk over there to get something to fix a lawnmower or something. And that rack is not there. And my crescent wrench is not there. So guess what I use? Vise grips. Vise grips always work. Always. Crank it down. Screw up the nut, but you got it done. Amen? How many real men know what I'm talking about? You know why I use that vise grip instead of the socket wrench, instead of the crescent wrench, or the end wrench? You know why I use that? Because they weren't there in the toolbox. That's what most people in churches are. You're never around. You never give the ability to do something for God. Shame on us! That had nothing to do with the sermon, but I just thought I'd help you out. Let me make something very clear. Whosoever believeth that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begatteth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, we are to love. Listen, the scripture says you cannot love people. You have to love people. Or God said, you are a
liar.
You're a liar. You're a stinking liar. You fight people. You try to hurt them. You try to make their lives miserable. And you want to look so pretty and so wonderful. You just lie about them. That's God says, I'm going to indict you on that. I'm going to take you to court. And the judge of the court not only knows the heart, but he knows the motive. You're guilty. You're going to jail. Your life is going to be very miserable. So instead of that, why don't we just use that verse over in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, I'm sorry, Rick. Sorry. Now, if I did something in secret, I thought of this, how stupid he was, and no, I'm not. I'm making this illustration, okay? And I thought, boy, you're really stupid and everything. If I thought that in my mind, where do I go? Do I go tell him that? No, I did it in secret. The Bible said no. That done in secret, confess it in secret. God, I am so sorry that I felt that way about him. Brother, oh God, he's a good man. Forgive me. Lord, bless him. Bless his wife. Bless his children. Amen? But if I said that out loud to somebody, I'm going to have to go say, Rick, I said something about you the other day, and it wasn't right. I want you to forgive me. I said that you were a home dog. Have you ever had a child steal something from a store and bring that child back to that store? Don't raise your hand. Don't go like this. I had to do that one time. You taught me a good lesson. The embarrassment of coming and confessing and bringing it back and saying I was sorry was worse than the enjoyment of the thing I took. And the next time I thought about doing that, I said no, and I go to. I still go in the store like this with both hands in my pocket. That happened 50 years ago, folks. Good night, 50, help, have, 60 years ago. I know you can't forgive a good looking guy like me, but anyway. Forgive me, all right, but anyway. The commandments of God, and I close with this. Listen to the commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to do. So the next time you think about saying something, or the next time you think about punching out of church because you can't get your way and everybody else, on and on. I don't even go there. Just drop to your knees before God and say, God, forgive me for my selfishness and my meanness. You ever think, God, I'm so mean. I'm so mean. I'm so ornery. I'm so cantankerous. Us old people, we got to really be careful of that. Because sometimes older people say, I don't give a rip. I don't have much time to live. I'm just going to tell them the way I think. Better be careful. You hope that nobody tells you what they think of you. Oh, Christians, may the love of God envelop you in such a way that's when somebody pokes you with their cane, honey comes out. Don't walk around like a porcupine with your bristles always out. Be sweet. Be kind. Somebody's watching you. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Preacher, love, love, love. That's not supposed to be in the fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, hellfire, damnation church. Yes, it is. Yeah. Jesus said, this is what we heard from the beginning. This is it. This is the basic of it. Sure, I hate sin. I despise it. It's always caused me a lot of trouble. I hate it. I hate what it does to our children. I hate what it does to our young adults. I hate what it does to our middle age. I hate what it does to our older folk. I hate sin. But I must be very careful that I don't hate the sinner. Someone came up and said, I heard you Baptists hate the homos. I said, where'd you hear that? Yeah, I hear it all the time. I said, hey, you know what? God says that He hates that sin. But never in the Bible you ever find God said, I hate that sinner. I despise it. It's an abomination, desecration, the Bible says. But you can't hate the person. You can't hate the person. You hate the sin that is. You hate what it happens to them and all the hurt that goes into it. But you don't hurt to hate the person. Are you kidding me? There's my favorite word. Are you kidding me? Just maybe that your kindness to that person may see their error of their way and they would come to Christ because of that. Not my job to judge. It's my job to live by this book. And so is your job. Father, I pray You'd help us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there'd be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, dear God, I pray that today would be the day they would say, God, I am not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure want to know that. Lord, speak to my heart, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's moving around. You're here today and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. There's a time in my life I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and come into my heart, but there are some things that are going on in my heart and my life, and I'm just plain ugly. I'm just mean. I'm cantankerous. I'm just owly. And boy, you know what? You're the most miserable person in this world. I'll tell you right now. I pray to God that God would get a hold of your heart and your life and just say, God, I'm done with that stuff. Forgive me of being so judgmental. Forgive me of being so ornery. God, for meanness, help me. Help me. Help me to be good to my sister. Be good to my brother. Dear God, help me to be good to my family, my dad and my mom. My neighbor. God, help me to live the Bible way, not my way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing. This is called the invitation. If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you just say, preacher, I just don't know. I don't know if I'd die and split hell wide open or go to heaven. I'm just not sure about that. I'd sure like to know that. I'm going to invite you to step out of that seat and walk down this, meet me up front. I'm not here to make Baptists out of here. I'm here to show you how you can know for sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven. That's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. Why don't you come? I'll be up front. You're here today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's the greatest thing in the world. I was 14 years old. I was an ornery kid. I'd heard it many times. Finally, it seemed like God was saying to me, boy, it's the last time I'm going to call you. This is the last time I'm going to tell you that you need me and I'm going to leave you alone. I'm just going to leave you alone. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word how I can be sure that you're saved. You have a home in heaven. Why don't you come right now? You hear today and say, preacher, I have been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism in deep water. That's down in the water, up out of the water. what that is that shows by testimony that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Hey, why don't you come and join us? Why don't you be part of this church? You need our help and we need your help. Why don't you come? Hey, we preach the Word of God here. We tell people about Jesus Christ. We want to live godly in an ungodly world. Why don't you be part of us? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I sure want to know that. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to be baptized. Why don't you come? Preacher, we want to become members. Why don't you come at this time? I pray to God that God speaks to your heart of that message I preached to you. Kind of a crude message, but boy, I tell you what, I think God got his point across on that thing. I think sometimes we allow the liberty that we have to really hurt some people. God have mercy on our hearts that we would walk with love in our hearts through this wicked world to tell others about Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, today that you'd work in our hearts. Help us to think on the message today, think on the scriptures. But Lord God, the next time we think about doing something that'd be unkind or unchristian, Lord, we'd realize that God has made an indictment towards us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go to the blood and ask for forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd bless us now as we go to our separate homes. And Lord, bring us back tonight at 6. And God, I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.